There's just something about the Word of God as you put it in your heart. There's a power in it to help you walk in that life of being set apart for the Lord. And this is where I believe sanctification varies in all of our life. We're not all at the same point. And as you analyze the Scriptures, part of it is our own doing, our own seeking after the Lord. There's people that make themselves open their hearts to the Scriptures. There's people that study the Word, and that's going to impact their life. And there's others that don't. And that's going to be evident within a person's life, and it's going to be evident in the degree of spiritual maturity. I mean, that's why we're all at different points. It's because some people set their heart to serve the Lord and to receive all that God has for them, and other people go through the motions. And there's not too many passages which says this is how God's going to sanctify you, but here's one that says the Word. And this is why I believe that Calvary Chapel has been blessed. Because the Word of God's taught on a consistent basis, and it goes out and it impacts people's lives, and then they go out and minister to other people. And it's just so simple because we're trusting in the power of the Word of God, God's Spirit, taking the Scriptures and ministering to people and building their lives up. And them going out and touching other people's lives. So here's a place where if you want to see your life changed, I don't think it'll happen at all apart from the Scriptures. And so we hide the Word in our heart that we wouldn't sin against the Lord. And we let the Word of God judge our lives rather than judging the Scriptures. This is why it's so detrimental when churches come along and begin to analyze the Scripture and say, well, this part isn't inspired and this part is an error. And they start becoming a judge of the Word rather than the Word judging their hearts. And the Word says that it's powerful and active and is able to judge in between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It goes deep. Sometimes it even exposes our own motives to us that we didn't even know were lying there. That's how powerful the Scripture is. It works as that cleansing agent. So I encourage you, I mean, you want to see your life set apart for God's work. It will not happen apart from an active walk where the Word of God is the primary source. That's why I'm saying I don't like the flop theology, just kind of get out of the way and let God do it. No, you need to get into the Scriptures. There's a balance of your responsibility, and as you set your heart to get into the Word, God's Spirit will take that effort and do a tremendous work. Look over at Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 and verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. It's a command. It's saying don't use your body, the instruments of your body, for sin. Don't present it to that. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So here it says what I need to do or not need to do is use my body for sin, but I need to present my body for God's purposes and for His use. And obviously that's extremely difficult, isn't it? I'm not telling you just read the Bible and you'll do this. No, this is a struggle. This is an ongoing battle. I mean, our body wants to sin. And here we say, no, don't give in to those temptations. Don't yield to that. Present your body to be used for God's purposes. I believe that's where that warfare goes on, that struggle. And here we're exhorted to live for God's purposes. Look at verse 19 of the same chapter. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And also verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end everlasting life. Now, as you look at Romans 6, he says that your old man was crucified with Christ. And it doesn't say it is being crucified. It says it was crucified. And Paul's point here is not that that old man is completely gone, never to bother you again. I wish that was the case. Because my old man, he keeps creeping back up. I try and keep burying him, but he keeps popping up. And so what I need to do is realize that I'm not to let my mind say, well, that's who I am. That's the way I was raised. That's just my nature. No, there's a power in the gospel that has come when we've received the Lord to break that bondage. We're no longer slaves to our old passions. We can't use that as an excuse. I think that's what begins to happen in our minds, where we're struggling maybe with a sin over and over and over again. We just kind of give up. And we say, I don't have any power over that. And that's where I believe the Bible is saying, no, he was crucified. And he's no longer in control of your life. Yes, he's going to hassle you and bother you, try and lead you astray, but he's not the one that's in control. You're now a slave to God to yield yourself to him. And I don't pretend to think that's going to cause you to live an absolutely sinless life. Not at all. But what you need to understand is, don't try and rationalize this. And don't give up. Don't quit and just say, well, that's the way I'm going to be till the Lord comes back. Not at all. That's what these passages are saying. Realize he was crucified. Now you need to reckon him dead and realize that you don't have to give in to that. I'm not at all saying that this is easy. This is where the real battle comes in. And so don't think that I'm standing up here saying, just consider him dead and he won't trouble you. Not at all. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking, you know, just keeps coming back. And don't give up. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 2. This would relate a little more into our service unto Jesus Christ. Verse 21. God's speaking about vessels in his house for honor and dishonor. And we name the name of Christ, we're to depart from iniquity. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, this relates a little more to your service unto Jesus Christ. If you, as it says here, cleanse yourself from the latter, cleanse yourself from sin. That means that you're resisting temptation, you're not giving in to that, you're allowing the Spirit of God to work in your life. What will happen is you'll find that your life, in the experience of your walk with the Lord, you're going to be set apart, useful, and prepared for every good work. But if you just give in to sin and live in a life of sin, when ministry opportunity comes your way, you're going to lack the heart and the energy and the power and the desire to do what God has brought to your life. That's why it is so important, I think, just to be spiritually prepared at every moment. Where we're pouring the word in our heart, that we're praying, we're depending upon the Lord, so that when opportunity comes, our heart is right with the Lord to be used by him. But it sure is hard to do that, isn't it, when our mind is all filled with junk and garbage and meditating upon the filth of this world, and then God brings someone across our path that needs ministry. We're not that vessel that's set apart. And so we need to, as Paul says in verse 22, there flee also youthful lusts. He's not just talking about sexual lusts, anything that would involve a young man or a young woman's life. Obviously, youthful lusts in that sense could be the pursuit for power and prestige in this life. That'll just completely remove you from being set apart for God's work, because you're too busy or your heart's in the wrong place, or that's where your treasure is and that's where you're spending your time, energy, and effort, and you're not a vessel useful for God's purposes. And so the sanctification that relates to